Hi, this is Bob Enyart with Real Science Friday. Did you know you could get CDs from us and listen to a year's worth of Real Science Friday shows on one CD? It is so much fun. In fact, I'm holding in my hand the Real Science Friday 2011 CD. It's an MP3 CD. You could download it from us, or you can get the MP3 CD, play it in an MP3 player, or even play it in a DVD player or your computer. So you can get it for 2011, 2010, all the way back to 2006. If you'd like, hundreds of Real Science Friday shows convenient on a single MP3 CD, and it'll support the airing of Real Science Friday. So just call us at 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278, or go online, realsciencefriday.com, and click on the store. And of course, that'll help us continue to broadcast. May God bless you.
Marriage is the very foundation of human society, but it was God's idea to begin with. What is God's plan for your marriage? How can you know? What can you do to learn and grow with your spouse to honor God in your marriage? Pastor Bob Enyart covers this deeply personal and critically important topic in his teaching series, God's Plan for Marriage. Order by calling 800-8-ENYART or online at kgovstore.com.
One warning, there's truth overhead. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob Enyart.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. There's so many important things happening, but these fascinating little news stories keep piling up on my desk. So I'm going to take time out from the press of the daily headlines and look at some recent news. For example, really big and important things, like out of Brush, Colorado. Most people never heard of Brush, Colorado. Brush, Colorado, they had a cow wander up to the takeout window at the local McDonald's restaurant. And it turns out that the cow got away from the farm she was on about a half mile away. And of course, everybody's been making jokes. The owner of the local McDonald's restaurant says the family's been making jokes about Darcy the cow wanting to visit her former relatives. So she went to McDonald's. And customers snapping pictures got a kick out of it, of course. Now, it makes me recall when two of our older boys, Josiah and Nathaniel, about 10 years ago, more than that, 15 years ago, they were young, preteens. We were up in the mountains and we saw cows grazing in a pasture. And there was a broken down fence around the pasture, but it was still there, but sort of lopsided, dilapidated. And I asked the boys, I said, guys, look at those animals in there. Look at those heads of cattle. What would they think if we freed them, if we broke a hole in the fence and let them go? What would they think? And Josiah said nothing. They wouldn't think anything. And I think he's exactly right. They would not think anything. God gave us cows as reservoirs for nutrition, right? A cow will eat grain and store up years worth of nutrients and proteins in its body. And then we could eat the cow, and it's a really neat system that God devised. But of course, there's the animal rights people who are all freaked out about such things. And I think about plants. And if I recall, we do Real Science Friday shows here every week. I think there are about 450 species of plants that are carnivorous. Plants that'll eat meat or eat insects. Now, that's got to be pretty mean, I'd say. You can't even trust a plant these days. But personally, for me, I love animals because they're delicious. Of course, we all know that. And if God didn't want us to eat animals, he wouldn't have made them out of meat. But when people claim that animals have rights, we should not overreact and recognize it's true. Animals have the right to be hunted, killed, cooked, and eaten. Those are the animal's rights. And the greatest achievement of any animal is what? It's to be eaten by a human being. Any ambitious animal could ask for nothing more significant than to be eaten by a person. And it's better to live and be eaten than never to have lived at all, I think. You cannot elevate animal rights without denigrating human rights. It's important for us to recognize that the environmental fanatics and the animal rights fanatics typically are pro-abortion. They reject our Creator God. They believe in evolution, that we're merely animals. Those who want to protect bugs typically want to defend a so-called right to kill little boys and girls in the womb, and it's actually a rebellion against God. You know how PETA, people eating tasty animals? No, PETA, the animal rights group, they'll say Jesus was a vegetarian. Yeah, except that Jesus ate lamb, right, at the Passover dinner, like in the Gospel of Luke, which we looked at recently in our Bible studies. Jesus ate lamb. So he wasn't a vegetarian, but they're child killers. So why would they be concerned about something as insignificant as the truth? And veal, animal rights people are against veal. Veal is good. Do you like veal? I like veal. Doesn't the Bible talk about veal somewhere? Say, you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. One of my health food friends complained that I'm not in the best of shape. I say, hey, I'm just receiving God's blessings. He said, you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. So I'm not in rebellion like you are. No. But actually, where is that from? That's from Malachi chapter 4. Jesus hung around with fishermen. Jesus cooked fish. He told the apostles to eat fish. He said, God said, every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. Obey God and kill the wild animals that are threatening your families. Leviticus 26. If you disobey God, then those wild animals, well, they'll roam wild and they'll harm your own family. So anyway, the cow, Darcy, that visited McDonald's. So this cow, this Darcy, just brings back to mind so many important thoughts. Like the Bible says, don't muzzle an ox while it works in Deuteronomy 25. But the Apostle Paul says, now we know that that's really about men. It's not primarily about animals, it's about men. That's in 1 Corinthians 9. And remember PETA saying, the president of PETA, Ingrid Newkirk, who said, a rat is a pig, is a dog, is a boy. We shouldn't be surprised. A rat is a pig, is a dog, is a boy. We should not be surprised when we read in the Journal of Medical Ethics 2012 that they want to legalize infanticide. They call it post-birth abortion, killing babies after they're born. Because when you think that people are just animals, you elevate animal rights and you denigrate human rights. And it's all part of a rebellion against God, of course. Oh, and by the way, kosher laws. You know, kosher laws all come from basically one Bible verse. Don't boil a baby goat in its mother's milk. That's the verse. And from that, they transpose that to no cheeseburgers. It's like, why can't you have a cheeseburger? Or to no co-ed refrigerators. Now, a refrigerator in a kosher restaurant, it cannot store meat and dairy products in the same refrigerator. That would violate the kosher regulations. Now, how do you get that from don't boil a baby goat in its mother's milk? How do you get no cheeseburgers? Well, maybe the cheese will have come from the mother of the cow that was butchered to make the burger. That's really a twisted, convoluted form of logic. And it's not logic. These things all have a theme running through them. Rather than have a relationship with the Creator God, we create our own standard of righteousness, our own rules, and in those rules, we protect bugs but kill children. I've asked a lot of young people in the last 20 years, 25 years, if you could only save a tree or a child, one or the other is going to be destroyed, which would you save? And it's shocking all the times the answer has come back, the tree. I'd save the tree. And my uncle, who's a lawyer back in New Jersey, he didn't believe that. I told him. I said, you send your kids to public school, they're going to think that a tree is more valuable than a baby. And he said, that's not true. I said, it is true. I've been asking for years. I've been asking this question. So he called his granddaughter over and he said, honey, I want to ask you a question. If you only had time to save either a tree or a baby, which would you save? And she looked at him like, what are you talking about, Grandpa? And he said it again. And she said, the tree. But he's a lawyer. He's a criminal defense attorney. So he said, no, wait, let me say it again. If you could only save a tree or a cutest little bitty cutie baby, which would you save? He wanted to change her answer, but she's saying, I'd save the tree because our godless culture has taught us that bugs and dirt and trees are good and that children, there's a war on children and families, marriage, that children are bad. Well, that is children in the womb, but then, of course, it's extrapolated to kids generally. All right, let's go on to the next story. This is out of the Huffington Post, and it's about life expectancy around the country. So where do you fit in? How old are you? What's your life expectancy? This is a new study that they say they give a glimpse at who's living the longest around the country. Now, this is all reasonably obvious, except that they break it down by state and by county. So that's interesting. It's produced by the University of Washington. Here's the lead of the story at the Huffington Post. Women's life expectancies are improving at a slower rate than men's life expectancies across the country, according to the research from blah, 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 Washington, University of Washington. Now that cracks me up. That's their lead. Women's life expectancies are improving at a slower rate. Now, why would that be? Well, it's got to be because of some kind of prejudice, right? It's got to be prejudice. They live 5 years longer than men live. Women in America live 5 years longer than men live. So by the law of diminishing returns, those who are the furthest back have the most opportunity for improvement. So 20 years ago, women were living 10 years longer than men. So men have gradually been catching up. But women still live 5 years longer than men. And somehow, through this entire process, the liberals say this is all because of a prejudice, a bias against women. It's the most bizarre situation. Then they have a quote from Dr. Ali Mokhdad, head of this institute that produced the report. And he says this. Now, you want to talk about news just being fabricated. No relationship to reality, just the prejudice, the feminist prejudice, the hatred for men, the hatred for God. Here's the quote. It's tragic that in a country as wealthy as the United States, and with all the medical expertise we have, that so many girls will live shorter lives than their mothers. It's tragic. It makes me want to cry. There is something sad to that, right? So many daughters will live shorter lives than their mothers, except it's totally bogus according to their own report. According to their own report, women's life expectancy has increased 2.5 years over the last 20 years. Increased 2.5 years. So how is it that daughters are going to live shorter lives than their mothers? How is that? How is it possible? So as you dive into the story, it turns out that over the last 20 years, researchers found that men's life expectancy increased at a more rapid rate than women's life expectancy. So men's increased 4.5 years, and women's increased only 2.5 years. So they're all lamenting the prejudice, the bias against women. These people are lunatics. You realize these people are lunatics. So by the way, you've heard us report here at Bob and Yurt Live in the past that every month that goes by in America, our life expectancy improves by a week. Every month that goes by, we live a week longer. Every year that goes by, we live 3 months longer. That's a stunning improvement in longevity. Just stunning. It's been going on for a long time, and that's neat. That's fun. That's good. Well, they're freaked out that the men have improved their life expectancy at a more rapid rate than women, but that's because the men have been the furthest back. Look at economies. You know how people say, well, China's economy is roaring and India, their economies are improving so much more rapidly than the United States. That's because they're so backward. You look at Turkey, go visit Turkey. We spent 3 weeks there, a Bible tour of Turkey. They're so backward, of course. They have tremendous opportunity to improve their economy. So to not see these things in perspective is such evidence of the twisted worldview that you need to promote in order to be accepted in today's culture, in academia, in the media. So they say men's life expectancy ranges in America, based on where you live, from 66 years to 81 years. 66 to 81, you got that? 66 to 81 life expectancy. Women's life expectancy ranges from 73 to 86. So women live on average. In fact, when you average it, males 76, females 81. Women live about 5 years longer than men. How do you translate that into some kind of a bias or prejudice against women? Then the study looks at Black Americans and their life expectancies. And they say Black Americans' life expectancies are improving much faster than those of white Americans. And of course they are, right? Why? Because America is prejudiced against white Americans. We must be prejudiced against white Americans. That's why Black Americans' life expectancies are improving so much faster, right? No, that's not the reason. We all know the reason. It's because of Obama. It's because Obama's in the White House. So why is it that Black Americans' life expectancies are improving so much faster than those of white Americans? Because of Obama? Well, it must be. Except that, wait a minute, this study goes from 89 to 2009. 89 to 2009, that means, oops, can't be because of Obama, because only 5% of the period of improvement was on Obama's watch. Can't be. He couldn't have had 100% of that improvement over the short time Obama was there. So it really has to be because of George W. Bush and Bill Clinton. So to take these kinds of reports and to force them into the broken worldview of a liberal that somehow, well, boys do better in math and science than girls because of the bias against girls. That's why. And then we ask, well, why is it that girls do better at everything else? I mean, why do girls do better at language and relationships and art and music and so many things? Boys tend to do better in math and science. Why do girls do better? Is it because of a bias against boys? God made us male and female, and there are differences. And men, we tend to have more difficult lives in ways that produce stress on the body. For example, if there is an ice storm and there's power out for 4,000 homes, there are men out at 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning, at 20 degrees below zero, trying to restore power to the women who are inside. Is it women who are out restoring power to the men? Or is it men? Of course it's men. And typically, God wants men to do the harder jobs, the dirtier jobs, to provide and protect the women in our families, in our communities. Speaking of women, Joel Osteen, the pastor of the megachurch in Texas, Houston, Texas, he was speaking about Mitt Romney and Romney being a Mormon. And this report comes on Glenn Beck's website, The Blaze. And Joel Osteen said, as he said in the past, in fact, that Mitt Romney is a Christian and that Mormons are Christians if they believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And this is such a great tragedy that Joel Osteen would say this. Of course, Glenn Beck would promote this false teaching, confusing the lines between Christianity and cults. Cults are universally, they're defective in the doctrine of God, the doctrine of the Trinity, the doctrine of Jesus Christ. And the Mormon religion is exactly identified as a cult because of who they think Jesus is and who they think the Father is. They think the Father was once a man. So when they say Jesus is God, big deal. Their slogan, as we are, God once was, as God is, we shall be. One of their presidents was being interviewed by the San Francisco Chronicle some years back. I think it was Gordon Hinckley. I think there's a new president now. But he was asked about these views, and he said, oh, I'm not prepared to respond to that. I don't know about that. That's just, that's not a big part. We don't know about those things. And for many decades, from Joseph Smith and Brigham Young and other presidents of the Mormon Church, they taught repeatedly and clearly that God the Father had been a man and he became God. And Jesus Christ had been a man and he became God. So when they say to a Christian, oh, we believe that Jesus is God, of course they do. It's like a Hindu, your cow could be God. Well, as a Mormon, sure, he could be God. There could be any number of gods. So that is not a monotheistic religion. It's a polytheistic religion. And here we have a photo. Is Joel Osteen in this photo here? I almost never see pictures of him. Who's that transvestite standing next to the mayor of Houston? With the long flowing blonde hair? Who's the transvestite standing next to the mayor? Oh, you mean that's not the mayor? Oh, that's Joel Osteen? Oh, that's his. Boy, I got it all confused. So is that his wife? Okay, I take it all back. So Glenn Beck, through his website, in an article by Billy Hollowell, says that the litmus test, and approvingly, and according to Joel Osteen, is the belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's not the litmus test. The Son of God is a statement that is also, because human beings are made in God's image and God's likeness, we are also referred to as sons of God. The Bible says Adam was the son of God. The question is Jesus Christ eternally God the Son? That is the question. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three persons in one Godhead, three persons in the Trinity, that is Christianity. Mormonism, tragically, from the mind of Joseph Smith, fabricating all kinds of bizarre historical details, none of which has been corroborated by any mainstream anthropologist, whereas the Bible, in its writings regarding the Middle East and Egypt and Iran, Iraq, Turkey, Greece, countless details in the Bible have been confirmed by secular historians and archaeologists. Countless, whereas this is not true of the Book of Mormon. So the Book of Mormon is a fabrication of Joseph Smith that the American Indians are Jews who came across the Atlantic in a ships with compasses, and it was all make-believe. The American Indians are not Jews. They don't have the genetic marker that Jews share. They don't keep a Sabbath. They don't have a dietary law. They don't circumcise. There's no connection. Whereas there's a tribe in Africa, the Lembas, who have a tradition of being Jewish. And sure enough, they have a genetic marker that they're Jewish, very possibly They are descendants of the Queen of Sheba and Solomon in the Bible. And they have a genetic marker, and they have a dietary law. And so you could tell that they're Jewish. The Jews had carts, right? They knew about chariots. Well, the American Indians, the Aztecs, Incas, they didn't have wheels. They didn't use wheels. So what? The Jews came over from the Middle East, and they forgot to use wheels. I mean, there's just, it's so obvious that the Book of Mormon is a fabrication from the mind of Joseph Smith. So that's one of the tragedies about Mitt Romney being the Republican nominee, is that we're going to see an increased blurring of the line between Christians and cultists. Like Ann Coulter saying, Mitt Romney is a Christian. Of course he's a Christian. That Mormonism is not significant. He's a Christian. He's only a Mormon because his parents were Mormon. I mean, what an insult to Mitt Romney to say that. But so this is a consequence of Mitt Romney getting the nomination. And Romney is so corrupt. Those who are willing to vote for Romney would vote for Obama under slightly different circumstances. A vote for Romney is a vote for Obama. A vote for Romney is a vote for Obama, because Romney has already implemented Obamacare with the individual mandate, tax-funded abortion. He has already ordered pro-life hospitals to distribute, to administer the abortion drug. He's ordered Catholic adoption agencies to place children in homosexual families. He's mandated that the state of Massachusetts implement homosexual marriage. He's already done it all. He's a government healthcare reform socialist. He's already done far beyond what Barack Obama dreams of doing. So a vote for Romney is a vote for Obama. And you know what? Republicans, do you know how the Republican Party undermines family values? This is how they do it. They do it with a slogan. They say, independents decide elections. Have you ever heard that? The independents decide elections. So to cater to the independents, because they got to win the election, therefore they have to downplay the Christian worldview, Christian morality, the child's right to life, the defense of marriage between a man and a woman. They have to downplay all that because they say independents decide elections. So if that's true, if that's really true, then Christians, we have to have the courage to be independents. If independents decide elections, then we need to be, as pro-lifers, we need to be independents so that the Republicans cannot take us for granted, but they have to cater to us. This election cycle, it's going to be interesting. Hey, God bless you guys.
Now you can subscribe to Bob Enyart's monthly Bible study DVDs. These verse-by-verse Bible study videos are great for family Bible study or even starting your own neighborhood Bible study. Each month, you get 4 or 5 Bible study sessions on 2 DVDs. You can subscribe by calling 1-800-8-ENYART or online at kgovstore.com. That's kgovstore.com.
This is Bob Enyart inviting you to read our manuscript, The Plot, for an overview of the whole Bible. Call us at 800-836-9278. That's 836-9278.